Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Remember those little slips of paper that would be left on your desk when you were away? As I recall, they were pink, and on these slips were printed the words, "While you were out." And then the message would be written down along with the caller's name and the number. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not even sure those kinds of slips even exist anymore in our digital age, but I thought of them because the Sports Edge has been away for 2 weeks. And so I thought we'd talk about what has occurred in the world of youth and amateur sports during that time. In effect, what has happened while you were away. And to that point, well, the confusing and conflicted world of sports parenting has continued over the last 2 weeks. Let me go through a bunch of headlines, and I'll be happy to discuss any of them with you if you feel so inclined to discuss. Of course, our number here is 1-877-337-6666, and the lines are open. Now, some of these headlines are, of course, COVID-related. Some are just old-fashioned cases of sports parents behaving badly. Let me start with this one. A mom at an Ohio middle school football game was not wearing a mask in the stands while watching a game. Now, in that particular public school district, as is true in many districts, the rules are very clear. Everyone, including students, teachers, administrators, and of course people who come to the games, have to wear masks on school grounds. Wearing masks is mandatory. But this particular mom didn't. Yes, she was sitting off to the side in the stands with presumably some friends and family, but for some reason, she refused to put a mask on. And after being told to do so by the authorities, she refused, and she would not leave the ball game. In fact, she was eventually tasered, handcuffed, and loudly protested as she was removed forcibly from the stands watching this middle school game. It was all caught on videotape. It's very clear. Now, come on, Mom. All this just because you refuse to wear a mask at a middle school football game? That's unbelievable. Or how about the assistant middle school football coach in Wisconsin who went for a COVID test on Thursday because he was feeling lousy? And then he was seen a couple of days later coaching at a scrimmage game on Saturday when a tracing call came to him that he had, in fact, tested positive for COVID and that he needed to self-quarantine immediately. He allegedly told the caller that, well, I'm too busy to talk about this right now. Well, fortunately, the authorities came to the football field and escorted this coach from the field and got him some medical help right away. I mean, this has a lot to do, I think, with just fatigue that we're going through these days when it comes to COVID. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I want to continue on. You remember the Sports Edge police blotter? We haven't visited that ledger in a while, but here's a good one to talk about. According to the headlines this past week, two Little League fathers in Holbrook, New Jersey, embezzled over $100,000 from their town's league, youth baseball league, and they were sentenced for their actions. But because these two dads had paid the money back in full, well, they were not sent to jail, but merely put on probation and told to do many hours of community service. Now, this kind of stealing from kids' leagues, unfortunately, happens all too often. And most of the time, the board of directors on these leagues, well, they insist there have to be at least two signatures on the checks that are written. That's done, obviously, as a safety precaution, so somebody's working as a check to make sure the other person who's writing the money, the checks, is watched over. But in this particular case, the two people who signed off on the checks were both involved in the money grab. No jail time for this? Well, I'm sure the lawyer must have insisted that if the money were going to be repaid, then there's no real need for jail time. And in fact, that's what happened, that the money was repaid in full. But for these two fathers in Holbrook, yeah, their two convictions still stand. Simple as that. They obviously were stealing money from the kids' baseball league. Word of caution then. So if you might want to make sure that all the checks in your leagues are seen and approved by the entire board of directors before they're sent out, not just one or two people. Okay, moving on. In Sudbury, Massachusetts, two parents held an underage alcohol party for their teenager and dozens of other teenagers. It resulted in the local high school being closed for a few days because of concerns about the kids who had attended this party and, of course, the concerns about them spreading COVID. These underage alcohol parties, which are basically hosted by the parents, this happens a lot. Parents decide on their own that they don't want their kids to be drinking and driving, so they decide to host a party at their house, where presumably they can keep an eye on the kids, and the kids, in fact, do illegally drink alcohol, beer, wine, whatever. Now, the problem is, of course, that lots of bad things can happen at these parties, and all of it is, in fact, bad. I understand parents of teenagers not wanting their kids to go out and drive while they're inebriated. We all get that. But you got to come up with some better and some more legal ideas than that. You just, especially now with COVID concerns, I mean, it's bad idea enough to have a party where kids are drinking underage, and you sure as heck can't socialize not wearing masks. It was a really, really bad idea. And last I had read, criminal charges are being considered against these host parents for having done that. I mean, I've been reading these kind of stories now for over a decade. I just don't understand why parents think they're going to get away with this or that it's somehow a good thing. Now, moving on. On the COVID front, a couple of sad notes. Let me start with a story of Jermaine Stevens, young college football player at a California University in Pennsylvania, which is a Division II program. He died from COVID-19 in early September this year. Jermaine was 6'3", 300 pounds, an easygoing, friendly kid, and actually the son of a former NFL lineman. Jermaine Stevens was his dad. He played for the Steelers. So in effect, with this young man, obviously football was in his blood. According to the heartbreaking account in the New York Times, a fine article written by Billy Witz, Jermaine's mom was fully aware of COVID concerns when she dropped her son off to school. She spent a great deal of time making sure that she sanitized his dorm room. This is back going to late August. She warned him about staying safe, gave him plenty of masks to wear, and of course reminded him to stay socially distant. Fortunately, it's uncertain as to how Jermaine got ill, but he indeed came down with COVID and he passed away. Then there's the case of a sophomore at Appalachian State who also came down with COVID-19. He was quarantined at home for a couple of weeks, and then he was cleared by his physician. He said, okay, it's fine. We've gotten through this now. And the kid returned to school in his off-campus apartment. But unfortunately, within days, COVID returned, and this youngster, Chad Dorrell, who had been a top basketball player in high school, he stood 6'2", and was described by his mom as being in absolutely tip-top physical condition, Well, upon his return to school and the COVID came back, he died also. Now, friends, I know these stories are rarities. We know that. But these were college athletes who died from COVID-19. And honestly, we all know about risks in life. But with infections beginning to rise again and again around here in the country, I have to ask you, you know, are you all feeling okay with your son or daughter going back to playing high school or college or travel sports? And again, we know that there's always a risk in sports. We've covered that topic several times. But when it comes to COVID, and we keep reading the numbers every day. I mean, I heard last night on CNN that we're still having 1,000 people die on a daily basis in this country. 1,000 people. And I know we know that kids seem to be a much smaller minority in terms of the numbers. But again, now we have two kids who died just in the last month. They did nothing wrong except that they either somehow contracted COVID either through social interaction at a school or whatever, and they're gone. And again, I have to ask this question. I know I mentioned before about fatigue. Are we just getting too tired to deal with this? Are we at a point now where we're just really worried about, you know, what's going to happen next with our children? And at what's the risk? I'm telling you, it's, we get the sense that COVID's not going away. Every day we read new headlines about players in NFL contracting the disease. Theoretically, you know, they're playing in a sort of a semi-bubble. Cam Newton is now out. I mean, you have to basically keep asking yourself, is this going to be worth the risk to my son or my daughter to go back and playing sports? And this is what we're worried about. I don't know how we go from here. And I just don't know what happens next. But I do want to talk about this today because I do think that what we're facing now after 6 or 7 months of this, we're all dealing with fatigue. We all know what it's like to, you know, get out of a, you know, you have your mask with you in your pocket or within your car when you move around. And then you got to remind yourself to put it on because it's as simple as that. You're doing it not only to protect yourself, but to protect, obviously, the people around you. It's really should be something that we have to make into a daily habit. And particularly with kids, you just don't know which one of our youngsters is going to be affected in a bad way. And we know, of course, that COVID manifests itself in all sorts of weird ways, both in short-term and long-term situations. It's something that we all struggle with. But we have to deal with it. Simple as that. All right, let me do this. Let me take a break. When I come back, I want to make sure I hear from you about these issues because I do think we really have to really begin to emphasize more than ever that you have to wear a mask. You have to be with a mask all the time. If that's not part of your daily ritual, it should be because, honestly, these kids are at risk, just as we all are. But more than ever, now we have kids dying like Jermaine Stephens, or Chad Dorrell. I mean, these are preventable deaths. That's what we're talking about. And these are kids who love sports. I mean, Jermaine Stephens is on the football team at California U in Pennsylvania. I mean, come on. It's just heartbreaking. And it's sad. And it should be stopped. All right, let me take a break. 1-877-337-6666. When I return, I'll go right to your calls. Hey, back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking about what has happened in the last 2 weeks in terms of COVID and obviously other cases of sports parents behaving badly. And I think there might be some sort of link here, the fact that we're all sort of getting so tired and fatigued and we're so eager to get back to normal when it comes to our lives and with sports in particular. And as a consequence, I think we're getting perhaps a little bit lax when it comes to doing the right thing, when it involving safety for ourselves and for our children as well. And this fatigue factor, I mean, this is going on now for 6-7 months, and we all sort of hoped that we were beating this thing down. And now, of course, we're seeing that the numbers are beginning to rise again of infections in New Jersey and Connecticut and in many, many states around the country. People continue to die on a daily basis. It's almost like we've become almost numb to the fact that 1,000 people are dying on a daily basis in this country from COVID-19, and we just don't know when it's going to stop. We just haven't got a vaccine yet. We just don't know when it's going to be safe to go back and put our masks away, in the drawer and forget about them. But right now we can't, and yet we're still seeing situations where, like I mentioned early on, about a mom in Ohio at a football game refused to wear a mask in the stands when it was mandatory, and she got carted off. This stuff is just hard to believe. Or an assistant coach at a kid's football game, having been told he's tested for positive for COVID, and says, no, I'm too busy right now. I'll get back to you. And, of course, he's around kids. I mean, this is nuts. All right, let's get to the calls. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to James over in North Arlington. Good morning, James. You're on the fan.
For the most part, would you say that, number, 90%, 95%, people are wearing masks? I don't think wearing a mask is a big deal, and you should wear it. You're 100% right. But they did put exceptions in, and you got to be careful, because you're leaving out that they said about the asthma, and you have to admit they overreacted with that woman, and that only feeds into that other side who don't want to wear masks. So you need to have, you have to use a little bit of self-control, even on the other end when someone doesn't have the mask on, that you don't go too crazy, because then you sort of feed into that other, that other people who don't want to wear one. But most people should wear one, but then you can't go crazy if someone is not wearing it. But, there has to be a way to sort of, if 90% of people are wearing it, that's good. So then you get some idiot who doesn't want to wear it, but then you can't, arrest them.
James, I hear what you're saying, but I got to tell you, we're at a point now where over 200,000 people have died in this country from this disease, which we still don't really know much about. My sense is, the same way we have laws regarding things like alcohol, you got to be 21 to drink. Why can't you just set it, make it mandatory? And we're sorry about your concern for your personal, sense of freedom. But the fact is, we don't want 90% of people in this country wearing masks. We want all of them to wear masks.
That's not a fair analogy, and we all know that there's probably people who have worn masks and also got the virus. So again, you're feeding into the political discussion when we got to stay scientific.
I don't think
science says wear a mask. Wear a mask. I agree.
Okay.
But then again, if you have asthma, they say you don't have to wear a mask. That woman had asthma. That woman was a little wacky, even the cop was even wacky. So that doesn't help people who want to wear a mask say, well, I like wearing a mask, but you shouldn't beat somebody up who doesn't have it on. She was by herself. That's inexcusable. The coach is inexcusable.
All right, James.
That guy should never coach again.
James, thank you. And I think we're both on the same page here. But the fact is, first of all, the videotape is very clear. The woman was not by herself. She was sitting next to five or six different people. Didn't know if they were family or whatever, friends. But the rules are very clear. If you're going to be on school grounds, you have to wear a mask. Now, if she has some sort of medical condition, and quite frankly, if she had asthma, then she should have gotten a letter. Or maybe she just wears a mask that's on her face, but perhaps it's not closely that close to her face or close to her nose. But the fact is, wear a mask. I mean, you're protecting not only yourself, but other people around you. I judging from the way she was screaming and yelling on the video, it didn't seem like she had any asthma concerns in terms of the volume of her voice. But that being said, the fact is, we know we have to do the right thing. And as James said, yeah, she should have worn a mask. I agree. It's simple as that. I don't understand why we have to go through a situation here where we have to figure out for, people to, continue to get sick and die. We have to figure this out. We have to make to the point where we understand that this is all about public safety. And it's not political. I mean, I don't think Dr. Fauci is political. I think he's trying to do the right thing for all of us. And he's saying, along with Dr. Shah and all the rest of the medical experts, wear a mask all the time. I mean, it's as simple as that. Let's move on. Let's hear from Coach Smithland over in, now he's in Jersey this morning. Jack, you're in Massachusetts, correct?
I'm actually in Sudbury, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So you're hosting an alcohol party for teenagers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. But, you know, the funny thing about that is that story, and it's not funny at all. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But years ago when I was coaching at Fairlawn High School, I had a similar situation. I had a younger player on my team that, you know, that was she was a freshman starting on the varsity soccer team, hanging out with the older kids, you know, getting involved with alcohol and, you know, and trying not to, and would speak to me about it. And I told her, listen, you know, just stay away, say no, you know, all the things that we're supposed to do. But one of my, well, actually two of my players, they were twins. Their parents were from a different country. They were from Germany, I believe, and they hosted a New Year's Eve party exactly the same way, Rick, exactly the same way. And unfortunately, the girl that had been talking to me for almost, you know, weeks before went to that party, drank, and actually had a heart attack and passed away and died at the party. And it was devastating for me, my family, and those people did not go to jail. They were, you know, they were put on probation. I mean, I believe had to serve community service, being that they weren't from our country, didn't actually understand our laws, but they should have. But there's an unfortunate situation where a girl died because of drinking alcohol sponsored by two adults. So you know,
let me just, Jack, let's just recap this, because you're saying that one of the girls on the soccer team was a freshman on the varsity soccer team. She's probably, what, 14 years old? And she went And she went to a party, which was an alcohol party during the Christmas break, that was hosted by the parents, who I guess you just said were from Germany. The idea, the intent, I'm sure the parents were, as many of these parents are, that, well, we're just going to have this party so we can keep an eye on these kids, because we don't want them to be out, you know, driving around if they're inebriated, because we know kids drink. So the fact is, even though the law is 21, the parents said, no, we're going to do this. And then the girl, as you said, apparently just got to a point where she got so drunk that she fell ill and died that same night.
That I'm going to tell you something that's ironic, Rick, and you're exactly 100%. You know, it wasn't one of the daughters. It was a different player.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the parents were exactly doing what you said. They were trying to keep the kids contained. They knew that they would drink. Now, one of the things that I remember back at that particular point, and that was in the late 1980s, in Germany, the drinking age is not 21 or even, you know, 18, where the way it was for years. You know, I believe it was even at a younger age, but they, you know, they were living here in the United States for a while. They knew the situation. They knew the age, you know, in the United States or in New Jersey at the time, but they still felt that this was the safest thing to do. And they, you know, as the kids came in, they actually took their car keys for the older kids, the seniors, took their car keys away, locked them up kind of thing, and tried to do it as best and as safe as possible. But this kid, you know, and the funny thing about it was she had some type of heart disorder. She had some type of heart defection. And the funny thing about this, and like I said again, I use that phrase, funny, but she had a younger sister that was actually our ball girl during our games. Well, this girl, at 21 years old, going to Fordham University, her friends took her out for a, and you can look this up, they took her out for her drinking, you know, drinking party because she turned 21, and she died of a heart attack. So the funny thing is that these parents don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing. And they got to understand the fact that these two girls both had the same heart problem, and alcohol affected it to the point where the heart raced so fast that the heart just stopped in both cases. So these parents lost two daughters to drinking. You know, one was of age, too. One was of age. They weren't underage. But, you know, this virus, I agree what you're saying. I know it's a story that you just cannot fathom. I mean, you know, when I went to the funeral, I was interviewed by WABC. I mean, you know, ABC and NBC and all the newscasters there, and it was the most devastating time of my life. I mean, you know, I remember at 3 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day, you know, five or six of the girls from that party knocking on my door. Both my sons were very young, sitting there listening to these girls cry, you know, to their coach. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, you talk about the two guys that stole the money. I go into a bank and I rob money. Oh, if I give it back, I'm okay. I'm not going to, you know, these guys should never be allowed to ever deal with kids again. Really? No. I mean, it's nuts, Rick. The world is going crazy. And you know what? I mean, but the story I'm telling you, you know, I mean, I don't want to say the girl's name. And
no, it's not necessary to do that. But the fact is that the impact you're talking about, this double tragedy of these two young girls and this family, you can just imagine the heartache that these parents went through, and you as the coach. But I mean, again, when parents decide that they think they're doing the right thing, but okay, we're going to do something we think is all about safety. We'll have the kids come to our house. We'll take their car keys. They can drink their beer and their wine. We'll keep an eye on them, and so on and so forth. I mean, this is just unbelievable that this still continues on despite the fact that these cases happen. Now, in this case, obviously, there's no way in the world these parents would have known this soccer player had a heart issue. But the fact is,
right,
there's no reason for a 14-year-old to be exposed to alcohol. It doesn't make any sense. She couldn't control it. She drank too much, and it ended up killing her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that I've said many times on your show, even the time that we had, I was a guest on your show and we talked about, you know, issues. I told you about a thing that I did at school with a lot of my kids, because I taught learning disabled children. And I had kids with impulsivity that could not stop and think, could not stop and do. So I made these cards, and on the cards, and I'm telling parents to think about this too. I mean, the woman in the stands, you know, that got carted away, she's not thinking of the safety of the other people around her. You know, whether she had asthma or not, you know, it's time that we stop thinking about our rights to not wear a mask and start doing the right thing.
Yep.
Because, you know, the one gentleman who came on and said 90% of the people are wearing masks. Well, then I guess, all these people that are dying from this are catching it from the 10% that are not wearing a mask. So, you know, wear the mask. Wear the mask.
It's as very it's as simple as that, Jack. And as again, I don't. I mean, is that gentleman called James from North Arlington saying, well, 90% of people do? And he was saying himself, I believe you should wear a mask. Yeah, but what about the other 10%? Are they somehow special? Are they not? Are they different? Is that more about a matter of personal freedom from them? And if they do have a medical affliction, well, then you have to either wear a sign, perhaps, or do something to say to people, I can't wear a mask due to my health. But the point is, wearing a mask is not that challenging as long as you get to do it. And I said, I think people are just sort of tired and fatigued and worn out and are tired of doing this, but you have to do it. It takes some discipline. It's as simple as that. I mean, just very, very strange, very sad. We read these stories. It's just, you know, unfortunately, they seem to be continuing on. It's as simple as that.
One last thing before I leave you, and I want to listen to some of your other callers. I'm sitting up here at a field, you know, up in Sudbury, watching soccer players come in, and the gentleman who said that, you know, those 90% and 10%, well, I guess none of these guys are the part of the 90%. But the point is that card that I made said, think before you speak and think before you act.
Yep.
And on the reverse side of it, it said, think about the consequences to what you're going to say or do. You know, the person in the stands, she was not thinking about the consequences to what could happen. The two guys robbing the bank, they weren't thinking about the consequences to what was going to happen. They're just thinking on their behalf. And we have too many people that are actually being selfish. They're not thinking about the people around them. You know, Rick, it's great to have you back on. Last week I was bored out of my mind not knowing what to do on Sunday. So, you know, it's great to have you back. And here I am at 7 o'clock in the morning sitting outside. My wife is sleeping in a hotel all by herself, doesn't even know that I left yet. Probably thinks I'm in the bathroom. But you know what? Thanks a lot, Rick. This is great. The show is great. I love every minute of it.
Thank you, Jack. That's very, very good to hear from you, of course. And of course, your comments are well put, well said. That is Jack Smithlin, Hall of Fame coach out of Fairlawn, New Jersey. All right, let me take another time out. I do want to hear more from you, your thoughts and comments about all these topics, because, yeah, this is a hot-button issue, and it's not going away, especially now, of course, with President Trump falling ill. But, you know, wearing masks, that is the least we can do, and it should be, at least in my opinion, it should be mandatory everywhere. We just got to get that to the point where everybody is doing that. 1-877-337-6666. Let me take a time out. When I return, I'll go back to the phone lines. Stay with me. Hey, a couple of programming notes. First of all, the NFL preview is next up after the Sports Edge this morning. And on October 7th, discover the truth and relive the rise and fall of WFAN's own Craig Carton in HBO's all-new documentary, Wild Card, The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth. Through a series of candid interviews with Craig Carton and those who knew him best, like co-host Boomer Esiason, Al Dukes, Jerry Recco, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and more, the film reveals how the radio host's secret gambling addiction, financed by an illicit ticket broking business suit, financed by an illicit ticket broking business, brought his career to a sudden halt. So don't miss Wild Card, The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth. It's Wednesday, October 7th at 9 p.m. on HBO and HBO Max. I always remind you, you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag AskCoachWolf, and my website and blog are at AskCoachWolf.com. We're talking about why it's so difficult to get sports parents and kids to wear masks, and obviously we talked also about this alcohol party. We're talking about issues here of life and death when it comes to our kids, and I think every responsible parent knows that. But particularly with COVID and the sense of fatigue they're all experiencing, and we know there's a judgment when it comes to saying, well, I don't want kids out drinking and driving, so I'll have a party here at our house. These are not good ideas, friends. And they, as we heard from Jack Smithlin, you know, he personally witnessed a situation, a horrible situation, where one of his soccer players had died from overdosing on alcohol and having a heart problem. 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue our calls this morning. Let's go to Joe in Selden. Joe, good morning. You're next up on the fan.
Hi, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling. I heard the caller, I think two callers ago, talking about the lady who was escorted off the grounds of the school.
Yep.
For not wearing the mask.
And, in Ohio, yes.
First, I would say, if she had asthma, she's in a higher risk category to start with. That's probably a good reason to wear a mask.
That's a good point.
Or not to be around people in public while you're not wearing it, you know. And people have to be sensible with that. I mean, I work with 120 people, and it's a political job. And half of us are Democrats, half are Republicans. But we all wear masks, all of us. And we, on both sides, we have lost family members. So we look at it this way, that we don't all like wearing seatbelts. And sometimes people do get into accidents not wearing seatbelts, and they live. But there's a better chance of dying if you're not wearing a seatbelt.
Correct.
So that alone should be a good enough reason, even if it's only 1% or 2%. Every life matters, naturally. We all know that. And as far as the children go, why would you be setting an example for your children? I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, and she wears the mask wherever we go in public. Not in the home when she's visiting us, not when she's in her own home, but when she goes out in public. And certainly she wears the seatbelt, and she wears the mask. And to me, that's the probably the best way to look at it. And
Joe, for those
who do not want to wear a mask, I usually will find out that it's for a political reason, and that should be put aside after what's happened this week. And that's so about all I have to say.
No, I have to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. And you make very, very valid points. The analogy to seatbelts, I mean, there was a time, as you know, in this country where seatbelts didn't even exist. And now, of course, they are mandatory. Most parents today or grandparents wouldn't even think about putting their child or grandchild into a car without making sure that they are buckled up in a seat or a car seat that's well there to protect them. Doesn't necessarily mean that, as you said, that's going to keep them totally safe and sound from a car crash. But the fact is, it's certainly a great hedge, and there's enough research now to show that seatbelts do in fact save lives. So, as you said, if you have asthma and that puts you in a high risk situation, you of all people should be wearing a mask. And if you think it's having to do with your personal freedoms or somehow your rights are somehow being diminished. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, as you said, Joe, has to do with the fact that we're all here trying to get through this pandemic and trying to make sure we all get to the other side safely. It's just hard to believe why people can't figure this out or can't, I mean, as the caller said, well, we have 90%, seems like. Well, 90% isn't enough. I mean, and I think we've gotten to the point too, Joe, where in this country we walk down a street where we live, most people are wearing masks, but for those who aren't wearing them, you sort of look at them and say, what's wrong with you? Why do you think you're special? Why do you feel you're entitled? Why do you feel you somehow won't get sick? It's just very, very hard to figure out from a psychological perspective as to why people wouldn't want to do something not only to protect others, but to protect themselves as well. It's just very odd, Joe.
I think what happened was the message back in March and April got out a little, it was bouncing around back and forth. Does it work? Does it not work? And certain people just took that and ran with it and said, you know what? I don't need a mask. You know, I'm not going to be affected by this. But with the asymptomatic cases, you do not want to carry it and give it to another family member and older. And in many of these instances, it's 3- and 4-generation households that are suffering the most.
Yes.
So, if you don't have it, or if you do have it and carry it home and do not know you have it, you could give it to your mother, your grandmother, or so forth, And I think most people are realizing that. But, boy, we do have that 10% out there, I think, that want to fight this tooth and nail, so to speak. So I'm just hoping the vaccine comes out as soon as possible once it's proven that it works. And, I just heard another, just a real quick, I won't take up much more of your time. I heard in Australia where the seasons are opposite of ours, there's a little uptick in this virus. But the good news is, people wear masks there, and the flu is 90% less. They're having 90% less flu in September than they did in 2019. So there's a reason that the mask does prevent the germs from traveling.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to just keep in mind, and everybody needs to just cooperate. And I know it's uncomfortable. I keep the mask on 10, 12 hours a day. I'm 67 years old. Sometimes I have a little bit of a sore throat at the end of the day. But I have a pre-existing condition, and I want to be safe, and I want to keep everybody around me as safe as possible.
Joe, well said, my friend. Thank you for calling in this morning. I appreciate your thoughts, okay. And as I said, your analogies to seatbelts is a good one. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
And to Joe's point, I mean, this is what we're talking about here. Again, we're talking about life or death situations, and not to be overly dramatic about that, but the fact is, I look, we are dealing with this pandemic. The pandemic of the Spanish flu 100 years ago lasted 2-3 years. We're 7 months into this one. We're still hoping to get a vaccine sooner rather than later, but it's an inconvenience. It's annoying. It's a pain in the neck, but you got to wear a mask, and you got to sit down if you're a sports parent and talk to your son or daughter, regardless if they are athletes or not, I should say. If you're just a parent, sit down and talk to your son or daughter and explain to them this is going to be something they have to get accustomed to, because this is how we are right now in our society. We're trying to fight a disease that is unpredictable. It's invisible. We don't know yet about all of its parameters and how it affects us on the short and long term. People do die from this, but we have to be, you know, basically vigilant and make sure they kids understand how important this is. We all see kids, out of school and stuff, they'll wear the mask to school. When they get out of school and they're congregating with their friends, they take the mask off, so they sort of slide it down around their neck. It's not the right thing to do, but it's hard. We're getting tired of this. It's fatigued, and it's going to be even tougher as we get into the winter months as well. It's just hard, but it has to be done because, in fact, people are dying from this disease, and we're now hearing, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, we're hearing about athletes dying as well. It's very, very serious. Let's go to Louis over in Lynbrook. Louis, you're up next on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, I just want to say you provide a great service to the community with your radio show. I appreciate you, and as a voice of reason, they should put your face on a $20 bill.
Well, Lou, thank you for those nice thoughts. I'm not sure I'm ready to be, you know, memorialized on currency, but
Rick, I've been a coach in Queens for over 30 years. I coach soccer and lacrosse on the college level at Bourne College. One of the things that Queens does now in the city is that if you don't wear a mask, you get fined $1,000.
Yes, yes.
Maybe this should be done all over, especially at the games. The only way you teach people a lesson is to get them right in the pocket. And if you get them in the pocket, they'll be forced to wear those masks, and they'll be afraid not to wear them. As far as the party goes with that you talked about before with underage drinking, I know in Long Island, if you have an underage drinker and you get caught with an underage drinker at your party, you can go to jail.
Yes, absolutely.
A serious rule. Like I said, teach your people a lesson. You got to get them in the pocket. Find them at these games where they're not wearing a mask. I guarantee you everybody will wear their mask in the stands.
Well, we have seen, Louis, where some athletic directors at high schools have stopped games in the middle of a football game and said, okay, we're going to have to basically say, look, we're going to just basically terminate this game unless you up in the stands all wear masks and be socially distant. Didn't I just read yesterday where at SMU, in the middle of the game, they made all the kids, the college students, leave the game because they weren't being socially distant and not wearing masks. They made them leave during the course of the game. So this is happening, but as you said, that's more through peer pressure than just basically financial fines. But I mean, we got to do something to get people's attention. So whether you say it's hitting them in the pocketbook or trying to do something to get them to understand that we're not kidding around, this is serious stuff. It's as simple as that. Louis, thank you for the call as always.
Take care, Rick. All the best to you.
You too. Thank you. Let's move on to Trumbull, Connecticut. Kevin is calling in. Kevin, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning.
Yes, Kevin.
Along the lines of seat belts and everything else, yeah. I never speed.
Okay.
Yet I have to watch everyone go over the speed. I'm more afraid of dying in a car accident by the people that drive over the speed limit than I am by of the virus, which is a more natural way to go. Why don't they arrest every person that goes over the speed limit? You want to hit everybody in their pocket?
Kevin?
You want everyone to abide by the rules, right?
Well, that's why we live in a society. That's why we live in a so-called civilization where we do have rules and laws that are not put together arbitrarily. They're put together to protect the common good. And yeah,
right. If everyone drove the way I drove, then there would be a lot less deaths on the highways.
I think you should get a gold star abiding by the speeding laws. But you said
no. I want the person arrested that's going faster than me.
I hear you, and they should be. I mean,
so I should be able to take their. I should be able to make citizens. I should be able to write everyone's license down. If I can report somebody that doesn't wear their face mask, if a car I'm down 55 on the Merritt Parkway. I should be able to write somebody's license plate that's going
Kevin,
65.
I hear you loud and clear, and thank you for that thought. I know what you're saying about this, but the fact is that we would like to think that we don't have to make citizens' arrests or citizens' reports to the police that I saw so-and-so, my neighbor, not wearing a mask on the street the other day. We want people just to understand that this is the right thing to do. We're trying to protect not only ourselves, but also our friends and neighbors and people around us. You just wear a mask. Wear a mask. Get your kids to wear a mask. It's as simple as that. It's hard to understand why we have this kind of this reluctance to do this. We are making progress, I think, but goodness gracious, wear a mask. Simple as that. Oh, one final note before I wrap up today's show. You know, I'm enjoying the playoffs, baseball playoffs, and I look at Fernando Tatis Jr., and I'm thinking, man, oh, man, this kid's 21 years old, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I played against a guy named Fernando Tatis also back when I played in the minors in the 70s. And I did some research, and sure enough, Fernando Tatis, the grandfather of Fernando Tatis Jr. today, well, Fernando Tatis was pretty good infielder. He played in the Astros organization, and I remember I playing against him in the Midwest League, and he played in Cedar Rapids, and I was playing in Clinton, Iowa. And I was always wondering what happened to Fernando Tatis. He played about 10 years, got to AAA. This is the grandfather I'm talking about. Hurt his shoulder, did not get better, and basically walked away from baseball. And, of course, he had a son, who is now Fernando Tatis Jr.'s dad. He also played baseball, got to the big leagues, had a pretty good career, and now, of course, we have the third generation, Fernando Tatis Jr. There was a great piece on a Major League Baseball network about the reunion between the grandfather and his grandson, and it's just heartwarming. It's a wonderful story, but, I mean, am I old? Yeah, not only am I old, I mean, when I played against the grandfather, Tatis, the original one, I was actually older than he was when he was playing. So that gives you an idea of exactly how old I am back in the day. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. I do hope and pray that we all take this very seriously when it comes to being a good sports parent, making sure your sons, your daughters all wear masks. You wear masks. I know it's a pain in the neck to do it, but you got to do it for the basic safety and welfare of ourselves and of our kids. Okay, that's it for me. My thanks this morning to Tom Lugar. Please stick around for NFL Week Preview. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.